I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Inside Sources.
Inside Sources.
America's voice of reason. Boyd Matheson.
On Utah's home for elevated conversation.
Inside Sources on KSL News Radio.
Well, for the first time ever, the Tabernacle Choir at Temple Square will have singers from all over the world joining its ranks. They've been planning to participate in the 193rd Annual General Conference of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints since last year. Truly exciting and extraordinary. We'll have all of that on KSL News Radio throughout your weekend. But we want to get into these global participants who are going to be performing with the choir. And we're thrilled to have back on the program once again, former governor of the state of Utah and the president of the Tabernacle Choir at Temple Square, Mike Levitt. And thanks so much for joining us today.
Boyd, I'm pleased to be with you.
Let's dive right in. This obviously an international church, and to have this international connection, tell us kind of the genesis. How did this idea come about? And then we'll dig into what's actually happening.
Well, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is a worldwide church with a worldwide mission. The Tabernacle Choir is an important symbol of the church. There is a desire to have the choir reflect more closely the membership of the church, and therefore we have invited people from around the world who are qualified musicians to join with the choir at General Conference.
So give us some of the this is no easy task. I think just the choir in and of itself is a an amazing operation in and of itself, but to add remote participants and then to bring them to the state for that performance over the conference weekend. Give us a sense of where these participants are coming from and what the process was to get them ready to sing with the choir this weekend.
It's important to recognize that this is a pilot. We're learning. Our objective is clear, and that is, as I've stated it. So we've started in a modest way. We picked eight areas of the church and asked members of the area leadership, the area presidency, to identify members of the church who would qualify musically and in terms of their membership to participate. Once we had the names, we began to interview them. They went through an extensive process to determine that they had the music experience and understanding and sophistication required to sing with one of the world's great choirs. We then moved into a period of audition. They went through a period of auditions very similar to what a standard member of the choir would go through, both a taped audition and then the music director, Mac Wilberg, and the associate director, Ryan Murphy, ultimately made the decisions as to which of the singers we would invite. We then had to go through the logistics of helping them begin to prepare. And some of that was done remotely, digitally. Some parts were done in other ways. So it's been, you're right. We're learning as we go, but it appears to be a success.
It's amazing. And you've got singers from Brazil, Ghana, Malaysia, Mexico, the Philippines, Taiwan is just extraordinary. And then they did all of this remote connection, and then you brought them here to Salt Lake City on the 18th. And so now they've actually been here. Give us a sense of what it's been like for them as they've actually joined some of these choir rehearsals in preparation.
It is electric to see it unfold. The choir received these global participants warmly. They know how much they have worked to get here and to prepare. It's a moment of history for the choir as we begin to manifest the global mission of the church. And I think it's just a very exciting personal experience for those who are coming. We know that they will leave better musicians having had this experience, and we know the choir will be better having had their involvement. We have been rehearsing. Mac Wilberg has said to the choir, you've never sounded better. I think this has something to do with having the global participants here. There's a great spirit about what they are bringing. It's clearly signaling to the world that this is a church that operates around the world with a mission that is worldwide.
I love that. And we were talking earlier just about the fact that we often think of the world looking at Salt Lake during a general conference weekend, and yet the leadership of the church has been everywhere but Salt Lake over the last 6 or 8 weeks, literally crisscrossing the globe and meeting with members and government officials and communities around the world. And that global effort and that global ministry is such a unique connection. I noted that there was also an interesting moment for some of these new members, these international members of the choir, I guess we can call them now, to actually sing for President Dallin H. Oaks of the First Presidency and his wife, Kristen Oaks.
Yes, I think that happened in an almost surprising way. They were at their request. They met with the global participants, and they sang to them. President Oaks spoke to them and suggested how grateful he was that it was occurring, and this is something he had hoped would occur, because it does both signify the mission of the church. It also does an important thing for those who are outside the headquarters of the church. It gives them a sense of belonging when they can see the Tabernacle Choir sing and have members of the choir who are from their country and who whose circumstances would resemble their own. That's a major part of the objective here, is to connect the church's membership around the world.
And so important, being able to see that and sense that that connectedness, I think, is so important. So you can catch these singers perform with the Tabernacle Choir during the Saturday morning session of General Conference, as well as the two sessions on Sunday. And that will be stirring and exciting. And President Levitt, before I let you go, just give us some things looking forward in terms of the choir. You're one who is very good at looking far ahead and around corners, and have clearly centered the choir on this global mission of the church and being more connected with the rest of the world. What are some of the things that we can look forward to down the road as it relates to this global choir and its impact?
Boy, that's an important question, because it puts context to why having global participants in the choir is of historic importance. Recently, the choir changed its mission. We have always been available to the world, but we have now established as part of our mission to have influence for good throughout the world. The three words "throughout the world" have been added to our mission statement. Our mission is to bring a sense of peace and healing and to help connect people to the divine. And we now desire to do that across the world or throughout the world. In addition to the global member pilot, we have a second pilot, which I think is equally exciting, Music in the Spoken Word, which is a well-known program, the longest-standing network television and radio program in the world, is now being expanded internationally. In the past, we've always offered the Music in the Spoken Word primarily in English with some dubbed voiceovers, and that is just not sufficient. So we are now piloting having Music in the Spoken Word broadcast in both Spanish and in Portuguese. And that will begin in the second quarter of this year, and has been well received by television and radio stations across the world.
Love that. That is connecting the world to the divine in a very powerful way. Mike Levitt, president of the Tabernacle Choir at Temple Square, a very exciting time. And I know this is a busy time for you as well. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Boyd.
Again, that's Mike Levitt, of course, former governor of the state of Utah and president of the Tabernacle Choir at Temple Square, and a grand vision there in terms of where the choir is headed, really connecting the world with the divine music, spoken word in so many different ways. And again, this will be a big part of the weekend as General Conference plays out. KSL News Radio is your place for all things General Conference, from the sessions themselves. And again, you'll be able to hear these international singers joining the Tabernacle Choir in the Saturday morning session of General Conference, as well as the two sessions on Sunday. And remember, in between General Conference sessions, keep it tuned to KSL News Radio. We have special programming that will air throughout the weekend that you just do not want to miss. We're going to step aside for a quick commercial break. And when we come back, I'm going to tell you about my special, which will air at noon on Sunday in between conference sessions. So stick around. We'll be back on KSL News Radio.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas,
in the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now, too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.